Welcome to the 8-Step Guide to Podcast Marketing Basics, an audiobook by Christopher S. Penn. You can get a printed copy of this book at ChristopherSPenn.com. Introductory theme by Audio Farm, The Groove. Welcome to the 8-Step Guide to Podcast Marketing Basics. My name is Christopher Penn, author of the book and narrator of this short ebook. This guide was assembled in preparation for a briefing I did with the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, in concert with the CDC, NIH, and a few other federal agencies. As my tax dollars go to pay for their new media efforts, I figured I'd post up a few recipes for podcast marketing to help them get the most bang for my bucks. I'll be using the Financial Aid Podcast as the example for the duration of this guide. To see this site in its full glory, visit www.financialaidpodcast.com. There's a lot more to podcast marketing and marketing in general than this short little ebook guide can offer. This guide is intended only to give you a broad overview of some of the basics of podcast marketing. I'm intentionally giving a miss to more complex marketing topics such as affiliate marketing, viral marketing, and so on and so forth, because the basics need to be in place before you can do anything else. This guide also assumes that you have a podcast, that you've already created at least one episode, and that you have a website and a blog to go support your podcast. Are you ready to get started? Question number one, is your podcast worth talking about? Nothing can replace great content. No amount of marketing will improve your content, and if your content stinks, it doesn't matter what you do to market it because you'll lose people just as fast as you gain them. Your content has to be compelling, unique, and remarkable, or nothing else matters. In the words of marketing guru Seth Godin, your content has to be worth talking about, worth sharing, worth spreading, or your marketing will be for naught. There's four books I recommend for any marketer and really anyone who's got something worth talking about that you should read in order to get the most out of your marketing efforts. Presentation Zen by Gar Reynolds, Purple Cow by Seth Godin, Free Prize Inside by Seth Godin, and Made to Stick by Chip and Dan Heath. Question 2. Is your podcast syntactically correct? More podcasts are killed, broken, or otherwise unusable by bad RSS feeds. If you're producing a podcast, use FeedBurner. FeedBurner will automatically clean up your podcast's RSS feed, make minor corrections, and alert you to major corrections that need to be made for it to be accepted by most podcast listening software and major directories like iTunes. You can use your own brand, URLs, and everything with FeedBurner so that if you choose to one day leave them and no longer use their services, you don't strand your subscribers. But FeedBurner is the bee's knees for podcast feeds. I recommend the options shown in the printed ebook for FeedBurner services to make the most of it. On the web, you'll find them at www.feedburner.com, and they are free to use. Question 3. Can you find your podcast easily? A podcast is not text or document, so the usual rules for publishing text don't apply. You can't rely on Google to index your podcast audio and video files to make them findable in search results the way you can with a regular web page. Thus, make your podcast obvious on your website. How obvious? Painfully obvious. If you have the ability and option to do so, dedicate an entire website just to your podcast so that it's free from the distraction of other content that your organization, company, or agency wants to promote. Consider buying a domain name that reflects the nature of the website, such as financialaidpodcast.com. If you go to financialaidpodcast.com, you'll see that the whole site is dedicated just to the podcast. financialaidpodcast.com is a clear, unambiguous name that tells you exactly what the site is about. If you take a look at the companion ebook to this presentation on page 6, you'll see two comparing and contrasting websites. One is the Health and Human Services Agency site, which has the podcast tucked away down in the lower right-hand corner, and the other is, of course, the homepage of financialaidpodcast.com, which clearly and unambiguously displays where the podcast can be found. Question 4. Can you subscribe to your podcast easily? Not everyone knows what an RSS feed is or what it does. Not everyone uses iTunes to watch or listen to podcasts. There are still plenty of folks whose interactions online are confined to browsing web pages and reading email, and there's nothing wrong with that. To get the most number of people to enjoy your podcast, provide as many options as practical for them to get your podcast. Offer your podcast through iTunes, through Google Reader, with straight RSS for the tech savvy, and by email for those who want to use their email software or service to be notified about new shows. FeedBurner, mentioned in the first section, offers a subscribe by email option that you can offer to your audience. As much as possible, work to ensure that subscribing to your podcast is as close to one click as possible. Do all the hard work on the back end for your audience on your server so that your audience has to do as little work as possible. And when they refer friends to check out your show, your friends and their friends can all find and get subscribed to your show very, very easily. Question 5. Is there a free sample? Even with the multitude of options for subscribing to podcasts, not everyone will choose to subscribe. The best way to ensure that as many casual visitors to your website subscribe as possible is to make each episode downloadable and consumable right on your website. Once a potential audience member visits an episode's page, they should immediately see obvious ways to listen now or watch now with nothing to install and nothing to subscribe to. Immediate gratification and fulfillment helps greatly to get someone to commit to being a subscriber, to joining your audience. Give your audience members detailed show notes for each episode. This will help those who are skimming the web to look quickly at the content in your show and determine if it's right for them, and will also give Google a chance to read your site and make it findable in their catalog. Audio and video plugins exist to make your show literally one click away from a listen or a view. Question 6. Are you marketing where your audience is? Build it and they will come. Doesn't work anymore in social media. There are just too many channels, too many options for someone to randomly stumble onto your podcast. Today, marketing your podcast is about finding out who your audience is, where they congregate online, and letting them know about your show. Start by doing a buyer persona. This is a marketing term. Develop an idea of who is in your current audience and who you want to attract to your podcast. For your existing audience, ask them questions on surveys and polls to gather as much demographic data as possible. Create a composite profile or profiles of your audience, current or desired. For example, the Financial Aid Podcast has a gray zone student persona as one of its audience types. This is the college student or college-bound student who comes from a middle-income family in suburban America. This student is between 17 and 21 years of age, from a household with a median income of about $50,000, and is too, quote, rich to qualify for financial aid that's purely need-based, but not, quote, rich enough to pay for college out of pocket. The gray zone student is typically an academically above average student who qualifies for a number of scholarships, but may not get them because they don't know that these scholarships exist. The role of the Financial Aid Podcast in the gray zone student's life is to help build awareness of scholarships and grants and provide student lending options to meet the cost of education. Gray zone students typically are involved in both MySpace and Facebook as online communities with a leaning towards Facebook. Knowing all of this information from surveys, from analyzing existing mailing lists, and from anecdotal comments, if I want to increase the number of gray zone students who listen to the Financial Aid Podcast, I can use existing marketing tools to narrowly focus on them. In the guidebook, on page 10, you'll find an example of demographic targeting on MySpace and Facebook. To find friends for the Financial Aid Podcast who fit the gray zone student persona, the starting point for social media marketing, which, of course, is a completely separate topic. Consider the different buyer personas for your particular podcast and who they are, how those people interact with your show, what problems they have that you can solve, and where they congregate online. Then go find those people in their online communities and make sure you let them know about your show. Question 7. Are you reminding people to share? One of the easiest ways to attract new audience members to your show is to ask your existing audience to tell a friend about the show. Take the time in every episode to remind your audience of your website and ask them to recommend the show to a friend or two. Encourage them to help their less tech-savvy friends get set up with Google Reader, iTunes, or the software service of your choice. Give people the tools to share your show, such as graphics, text links, widgets, and other options. Word of mouth is one of the best means of marketing your podcast, but you must be vigilant and persistent in telling people what you want them to do and making it as easy as possible for them to do so. On page 11 of the guidebook, you'll see a sample of some of the text links and graphics that I use to promote the Financial Aid Podcast and help make it easy for audience members to share the show with their friends. Question 8. Are you measuring your success? Without a metric for understanding your progress, you won't know what marketing efforts are working or not working. Statistics for measuring podcasts can vary wildly, from visits to a website to downloads of an episode to non-media metrics. Whatever statistic you choose to measure on, it's important to pay attention to trends rather than any individual discrete data point. If you choose, for example, to use Feedburner subscriber numbers, are your numbers in a 30-day period going, on average, up or down? If you choose downloads, are episodes being downloaded more or less in a 90-day period? If you use website traffic, do you have more or fewer visitors over the last 30 days, and how many of those are new visitors versus returning visitors? As much as possible, try to focus on a metric that involves some form of commitment from the audience, whether it's signing up for a mailing list or a newsletter, buying a DVD, taking out a student loan, volunteering at an event, or whatever fits your business or organizational equivalent of a sale or a conversion. You want to measure commitment as often as you can, as opposed to just random website traffic or random visitors. Remember, metrics are trend indicators telling you whether you're going in the general right direction or wrong direction. Don't pay too much attention to any one specific point because it can occasionally be misleading. For more resources on analytics, check out feedburner.com, Google's Google Analytics software, which is free, and libsyn.com. This concludes the 8-step guide to podcast marketing basics. I hope you've enjoyed it, and if you have any comments or questions, please get in touch with me via my website, ChristopherSPenn.com, or AwakenYourSuperhero.com. I do present at conferences and private engagements, so if you'd like more information about how I can help your conference, your event, or your organization make the most of its new media efforts, again, please get in touch with me at my website, ChristopherSPenn.com. Thanks for listening.